Coming up today, Pastor Ray Bentley gives us a snapshot of the way the Lord relates to us, or at least the way the Lord wants to relate to us.
Jesus showed not just any kind of love, he initiated an extreme relationship. That's what he wants. That's why there's always something stirring within you. It's a good thing, it's a healthy thing. It is because you are not finished yet. God is at work within you.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Jesus wants a radical relationship with us, not a half-baked, ho-hum, maybe, maybe not kind of acquaintance based on convenience and momentary whim. Today, Pastor Ray shows us how Jesus is looking for a relationship that's just as extreme as the price he paid at Calvary.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's begin. He says, "You therefore, verse 1, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Timothy now is to do his best to pass on the treasure of the gospel to the next generation. And we know that Timothy was successful to pass it on, for it has been passed on in a living chain for the last 2,000 years. Do you know why there is such a thing as Maranatha Chapel in San Diego, California? Because Timothy listened to the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago. Timothy was obedient to Paul along with others and passed on to those who were younger in the faith in him and discipled them, and then they passed it on to the next generation, and then it went from country to country, village to village, and person to person, and this living human chain has come all the way now down to us. So we have a responsibility now to carry that living chain on. That is why, and let me speak for a moment prophetically. What the Lord has impressed upon me is, I believe, though I don't know the day, we don't know the hour, and I suppose the Lord may not come for 100 years, he may not come within our lifetime, but I do believe with all of my heart he is coming soon, and I believe we are living in the last days. I believe that let's set prophecy aside for a moment. Set all the prophetic things aside. Just watching the news and what is happening in the world. We all know, and I don't even have to mention to you, there are several continents and inevitable confrontations that we're headed towards that will affect us one way or another. And that's not even beginning to go to the natural things that whatever's going on in the world, and I'm not here to, you know, have a debate or even an opinion on whether it's global warming or whatever, but weather is happening and changes are happening and natural disasters seem to be the result. And while we don't have the fear of hurricanes as in other parts of our states, we do have these things called earthquakes. And you don't know when something may happen. And I say all of that just to say this. The Lord has impressed upon me to prepare myself and to prepare you as sheep for the next several years. And that's why I'm emphasizing in particular the next 3 years. That we will experience more tremendous political earthquakes, economic earthquakes, crises, birth pangs, if you will, signs of the coming birth of the kingdom of heaven. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." A good soldier. Endure hardship is how Paul tells it, or join with us in the suffering. A good soldier of Jesus Christ has a single-minded devotion. Now, Paul was chained to a Roman soldier, and he spent a lot of time in jail, so he studied them. and he got to know them. And Paul saw something in the military of the Roman Empire, not a Christian nation, not at that time. But he saw something in them that he said was good and something that the body of Christ could learn from. Be a good soldier. By the way, obviously in San Diego, we are a military town. There are many of you that have been in the military, served in the military, maybe currently are in the military. Do you know that the Bible always speaks in a honorable way of those who are in the military, even the Roman Empire? How often it will speak of a centurion, a position of a kind of an officer in the Roman army, and they were always in a good light. In fact, of one centurion, Jesus was so stunned that he stopped and he looked around to all the Jews, because this guy was a Gentile. He looked at all the Jews, he said, "You see that? You hear what that guy just said? I have not found that kind of faith among my own people, Israel." Because when the guy said, "My, you know, child is sick or whatever, and come," and Jesus said, "Well, I will come," and he said, "No, you don't need to come. I understand authority. I have people under my command. I tell them go, they go. I tell them come, they come. I know you have power and authority. You just say the word, and it's done." And Jesus was stunned because he understood a deep spiritual principle of power and authority, command, and the word given. And the other centurion that we read about, Cornelius, that started the whole movement in the book of Acts, another soldier. So now Paul uses that analogy again for the body of Christ and how more appropriate even in the times in which we live, if we're, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we're not fighting people, but it's a spiritual battle. So be a good soldier, endure hardship. Tertullian, one of the church fathers, put it this way: no soldier comes to the war surrounded by luxuries, nor goes into action from a comfortable bedroom, but from the makeshift and narrow tent, where every kind of hardness and severity and unpleasantness is to be found. There was the Roman code of Theodosius talking about the Roman army. He said, "We forbid men engaged in military service to engage in civilian occupations." Single-mindedness, or the ability to shut out everything else when necessary, is the key to success when you're in a war. One of the sayings of my grandparents' generation, many of your grandparents' generation in World War II, when there was hardship, when you had to sacrifice, when there wasn't, you know, some of the luxuries there used to be, the parents would always look to one another and they'd say, "Well, you know, there's a war on." And that said it. There's a war on. People are dying. Now, in a spiritual sense, we're talking about eternity, heaven or hell, and winning souls and passing through a living chain, the treasure of the deposit of the gospel. Paul said, you know, the goal, and maybe and somewhat in our culture, America in particular, because we do have a lot. We are financially and materially blessed. And God blesses that way. He does. And there are many that prospered in the Bible and that God blessed. And God said, "If you'll follow me and honor me, I'll bless you and I will prosper you." But he gave it with a warning. If you're reading through the Bible, you'll find it where God said, "But be careful because I love you and I will bless you and I will prosper you, be careful not to fall in love with those things and lose your love for me. Because if and when you do fall in love with those things and they become idols to you, you will never be satisfied within your heart. You'll always have to need more to get that same, you know, feeling of happiness. And ultimately, because I love you, in judgment, I'll begin taking those things away or as it were, pulling the legs out from underneath that chair to wake you up so that we can have a relationship again." Surely there are some lessons from ancient Israel in the days of their prosperity, in the days of King Solomon, and that generation having no idea as the legs literally were being pulled out from underneath them because they had fallen out of love with God and in love with things. Paul is reminding Timothy, like a good soldier, stay focused. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 talks about that mental focus. It's in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. "Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind, my eye is on the goal and on the prize. Spurgeon, a pastor from London, a generation ago, said this about this passage. Up, I pray you now, by him whose eyes are like a flame of fire, and yet were wet with tears. By him on whose head were many crowns, and yet who wore the crown of thorns. By him who is King of kings and Lord of lords, and yet bowed his head in death for you. Resolve that to life's latest breath you will spend and be spent for his praise. The Lord grant that there be many such in this church, good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I think that's a well said. Now, let me try to bring this home, this point, this way. And I think I have in your notes there, Jesus initiated in a relationship with us. The fact that we can have a relationship with God was initiated by Jesus Christ. And I want to put forth the kind of love and the kind of relationship that Jesus initiated toward you and me, mankind, was an extreme love. An extreme love. You know, right now, our culture is very much into extreme sports. It's like, I don't know, everything is, you know, same old is not good enough. We want more. And sports are not enough, so we have to have extreme sports. And, you know, it is fascinating to watch some of these, but they're nuts. Have you seen, like, this young guy, you know, and he's got his little silly little beanie on and some tattoos. He's up on the top of a mountain. There's nothing, it's a sheer mountain, and he jumps off. And you're just like, what are you doing? And then he makes it. It's unbelievable. Extreme sports. So we're into all this extreme stuff. But have you ever considered that Jesus showed not just any kind of love, but that the kind of love that he demonstrated, his point was an extreme love. He initiated an extreme relationship. That's what he wants. He does not want a casual, laissez-faire, take it or leave it relationship with you. Love wants everything. That's just the way love is. It doesn't want half, it doesn't want part, it doesn't want, you know, let's make a deal. It wants everything. That's how God, that's why you are, there's always something stirring within you. It's a good thing, it's a healthy thing. It is because you are not finished yet. God is at work within you. And he is seeking to make your heart. He said, I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, you make me nauseous. God loves hot and he loves passion. So Jesus, the whole point of his whole life and ministry, his 3.5 year ministry, culminated in one final act. And he said, guys, I'm going to tell you this again and again and again. They never seemed to grasp it. They didn't understand it. They thought it was another spiritual story, parable, whatever. I don't know. But he told them plainly again and again and again, I am going to be crucified as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. No metaphor, no hidden meaning, nothing fuzzy to try to figure out. I'm going to die, and no man takes my life. Understand me, I am in control. At one point, Pilate is trying to get Jesus to talk. He's not talking, and he says, hey, don't you realize I have the power to put you to death, man? Jesus spoke. He looks at Pilate. He says, you have no power over me unless it was given to you by my Father in heaven. But as far as dying goes, that's why I came. He came and he gave his life and he said, I'm going to die on the cross. And when Jesus went to the cross like this, that was the initiation of an extreme, extreme love. And then he died and he paid for our sins and then he was buried and then he rose from the dead and he ascended up into heaven. And the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus, the risen Jesus, seated at the right hand of God right now, you still see the marks of his crucifixion in his risen, glorified body. And apparently for all of eternity, the lover of our soul, will have the marks to remind us of his love. Now, having initiated such an extreme response from 2,000 years ago, now Jesus stands back and he waits and he watches. How will mankind respond to the initiation of this kind of love? Well, you know history. You know how people are today. And there are many that ignore it, and there are many that don't want it, and there are many that, just don't give it the time of day. And then there are some that do respond, at least in a religious way, outwardly. And a smaller group within that even, who then respond and say, yes, I believe. But how deep, how is our response? The Lord wants an extreme love response back. Very few respond with the depth, the intensity, the passion, and the extremity of the love that he showed toward us. And it's something that you have to choose to say, that's what I want, Lord. And as for me, that's what I want. I want a deep, passionate, intense, extreme love relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. And that is my hope and my prayer for you, that you too will see it, feel it, and not be able to look and think about Jesus and be, you know, casual about it. That something deep within you will stir and you will have to respond. And in an extreme way, that's the way that love is. So what is your response right now? How would you define your response to the extreme love that has been initiated? That's a choice you and I make every single day. Every day I choose, am I going to really love the Lord and follow him and believe in him and trust in him and draw near to him and allow him to fill me with his spirit and burn with the fire of his presence? Or am I just going to kind of cruise through? You know, so many people are so casual. Life was not meant. We're God's children. And God is not, he is anything but casual. He is wild. He is intense. He is passionate. And he wants his children to be as well. Therefore, you, Timothy, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in closing, he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Paul talks and he now gives the analogy of athletics, which we briefly mentioned, and the discipline that is given to that. You know, every 4 years we have the Olympics, and you guys like the Olympics, most of you probably. And do you, like me, find yourself sometimes watching sports that under any other circumstances, I would never in the world watch this? And there you are following there's some really funny, silly things that people practice. There's this one, what is it? They're called stones, these little, curling. And there, you see this little team, they got their little suits on and they're all talking and strategizing and then they send this little deal and they're feathering in front of it. I just laugh. But they've spent 4 years doing this, feathering the ice, and on it goes. And all the other difference, like luge. When did you just wake up and go, I gotta watch some luge today? I mean, I never get that. But the Olympics comes. And there's the little guy from Italy and the guy from Germany, and they're whizzing down the mountain, you know, at 100 and some miles an hour or whatever, and it's just insane, and you're watching it. And they have spent 4 years practicing it. And then the funny little team from Africa, the luge, they never used snow until they got to the Olympics. So anyway, there they are. And you watch these things. Paul saw that intensity, and there is something drawing about it. There's nothing wrong with it, and yet Paul is saying, what he is saying is the capacity that human beings have to show that kind of focus and discipline and training and practice can be used and shifted toward our life with the Lord and our relationships which are hard work, which comes to the last thing, and I close with this, farming. Farming is hard work. So is being a Christian. So is wanting to have a crop, whether of relationships that are healthy and that bear fruit. Hard work. Hard work, to say the least. It involves early and long hours because they could not afford to lose time. Farmers have to make the most of every moment. Constant toiling. There's plowing, sowing, tending, weeding, reaping, and storing. It's constant work. You have to face regular disappointment. There's frost, pests, disease, and then it requires great patience. Everything happened at a snail's pace, especially in ancient world agriculture. And then boredom. There's times when there's nothing going on. So you have to learn to enjoy the quiet and the solitude and the space that a farming agricultural life provides. So also God uses solitude in our lives as we grow and walk with Him. But all of these things say that God loves us, and as Paul harnessed and focused Timothy, so may we hear the Lord's invitation to us to respond to Him with the dedication of a soldier, with the discipline of an athlete, and with the hard work of a farmer, and to yield a crop of relationships that is what life really is all about. We are here on earth to learn how to love. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We are here on earth to learn how to love. Amen? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. What is your response to the initiation of Jesus' love toward you? First question. Second question, what would you like it to be? That's up to you. You can decide right here, right now. But the thing is, tomorrow morning you'll wake up and you'll have to decide again. Every day, you decide what kind of life you will have. And what the Lord has done is provided you everything that is necessary. The grace is present. The opportunities are there. The providence watches over you to have an amazing life. Don't settle for anything less than the life you've always wanted. Father, we come before you and thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray that we might hear what the Spirit says to the church today. Bless each and every one of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, closing today's study in a word of prayer. We've been exploring Jesus' invitation for an extreme relationship today here on Maranatha Radio. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, A Time for Extreme Love. It's available on CD for just $7. Again, the title, A Time for Extreme Love. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Timothy on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of His return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.